Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
All right, welcome back, High Heat fans, to episode 11.
What?
Yeah, episode 11. I think we're at least averaging about one a month. I know August was a little dicey. We'll call this one August, even though it's September 1st.
Hey, I mean, you were in, what, Africa?
Yeah, took about 23 days to Africa to go see the brother-in-law and family, and man, amazing.
Yeah. Amazing.
I mean, it was definitely a experience to see different cultures and to see different lifestyles. We're in Nairobi, Kenya, and then went to the coast, and the Indian Ocean's amazing. The coast is awesome. It reminds me of like the Caribbean.
Yeah.
But then Nairobi's amazing, and good food and a lot of nice people. So, I mean, it was definitely an experience.
You're on the eastern side?
We're on the eastern side, east central. Yeah.
Nice.
So,
spend yeah, I always got a kick out of the little monkeys jump around the trees and all that.
They're mean, man. It's one of those where everybody thinks monkeys are cute and innocent and everything, but they're mischievous. They have trouble all the time with them reaching in the windows and grabbing fruit and everything and all that stuff, and it's like they're kind of like a nuisance almost if you live there.
So kind of just like Aladdin, where he's just grabbing everything.
Yeah, Abu is a perfect description of what monkeys are like. So
they're good from far, but far from good, huh?
Yes, yeah, but they are super cute. There was a breed there that was super cute and had little babies. They're like tiny. I think one of them chased my wife once, but she had a bracelet on her anklet, and I guess it thought it was food. It was playful, like chasing. It wasn't like. Yeah. Conniving or anything, but she got scared. She's like, help, help me. And I see her take off around a bush and the monkey's right on her heels. And
of course you're like this video.
Well, that would have been hilarious, but I started like swinging the towel at it to kind of scare it off, but it was funny. But all in all, great trip, good food, amazing people. But it also gave a good perspective on how the other half of the world's living, how rough it is.
Yeah. And
how hard it is of living for, I guess you'd call it a third world country in some parts. I mean, some parts are nice, some parts, majority of it's not, and they're fighting for their lives almost every day on low income. But to see how happy those people were on how they were living, it just gives you a new perspective on life where you're like, man, we just come up with our own problems. We have nothing to worry about. I wish a lot of people could go over there and see how other people live, other countries live, and right. Tell you what, 20 something days away from any news, watching any TV was a very good cleansing. So I came back and I was like, man, I don't want to watch any more TV. Like, it was so fun, like getting away from all that. I think we watched like 3 movies the whole time we were over there. Every Friday night was movie night. And that was the only TV we had. And other than that, I was just communicating, reading books and hanging out. It was perfect weather. I think it was like low 80s in the day. And then nighttime was like upper 50s.
That sounds amazing.
Then we come back to DFW and it's 108 with a humidity of 120.
And still hadn't rained in 35 days when you
got there. Yeah, I about died coming off that plane. Yeah. So all in all though, great trip, refreshing. Glad to be back, but had fun. We did get a overnight stay in London and got to tour downtown London for about 5 hours.
Nice.
And that was all we needed, was just to go see all the main stuff down there and get back to our hotel. And definitely that night between a 9-hour flight and then an 8-hour flight was definitely needed.
Yeah.
Very refreshing. So, yeah, all in all, good trip. Glad to be back. Glad we went. Good trip. So,
good.
I think that'll bring us to our first topic, which is kind of headlines for the last 4 or 5 months, maybe longer, college football realignment. What's your thoughts on all that, all the moves going down? How do you feel about all the realignment?
They're making the super conferences is what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't get into, what they don't see, is now football's not like baseball or things like that that play multiple games.
Mm-hmm.
There. So now you got some West Coast teams traveling to the East Coast and vice versa. How are you justifying, you know, you're taking schooling away from these students?
Mm-hmm. Which,
you know, they're going to start missing more. You could start seeing grades slumping. You're going to see more tired athletes. I mean, coming off a 3-hour time difference,
mm-hmm,
is going to start playing tricks.
Yeah, they just announced Stanford and Cal are going to ACC.
And SMU.
And SMU. Well, I'm just saying from a West Coast to an East Coast, you know. Right. So you got Stanford going to Florida State, ACC matchup. You're playing a Friday, Saturday, Sunday matchup. Sunday games, they have day games, but still, by the time you get done with your game, everybody showered, everybody on the bus to the airport, everybody checked in, you're flying out at, you know, your game started at noon or 10 or something like that, and you're done by afternoon. By the time you get on the plane, it's 5-6 o'clock. You're flying 3 hours to the coast on top of a 3-hour time change, you know, or vice versa. It'd be worse for a Florida State team, right, going to California and then coming back, you know.
Right.
You leave 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock Western time, you know, it's already 9-10 o'clock Eastern time. By the time you get back, it's 2 o'clock. By the time, mm-hmm, you get your luggage, go to the field, drop everything off, get back to your dorm and go to bed, you're probably looking like 2-3 o'clock. So
yeah,
they definitely realign these for football purposes, but they did not think about other sports when it came to how many games they play. I think it'll only affect mostly baseball more than anything, and softball. Yeah. Or does softball do series, don't they? Yeah. Or do they? Yeah. So baseball and softball. I didn't know softball could play so many games. They could play whenever, but
I mean, think basketball too. What do they play, midweek?
Yeah, they do midweek, but it's like 3 games a week, maybe 4.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a
travel.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fans trying to travel for football games. I mean, it's gonna make it hectic.
Yeah. Yeah, unlike a OU-OSU game where you could just drive up the road and go watch the game, or, you know, even OU to Norman to Fairgrounds in Dallas, watch Bedlam, or not Bedlam, Red River. You could still drive that far, you know. But now you got all the way across the U.S. to see a game. But so far, all that's before the dust is all settled, today was big news with the ACC, but we'll get to that. The MAC, Mountain West, and Sun Belt are about the only three that haven't done anything. I did have ACC on here, but that was before today when all the news broke about some teams moving to ACC.
Right.
Big Ten in 2024 is adding Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Washington, which will bring the Big Ten down to 18 teams. Big 12 in 2023 is adding BYU, Cincy, Houston, and UCF.
I think Utah was in one of those? What'd they do?
Well, 2024, they're adding Arizona, ASU, Colorado, and Utah.
Okay,
there it is. Yeah, so 2023, they're adding that. 2024, which will bring them up to 16 teams once OU Tech leaves.
Did you see the University of Houston's uniforms?
Yeah, powder blue, or the Oiler representative.
Yeah, those are sick. Bring back the Oiler look.
Yeah, I think someone said that's the first time they've seen a college team retro to an NFL team. Usually it's like a classic, their classic uniforms or whatever. But it's the first time they've seen that jump between a college and an NFL team. So I think they're sick. They definitely need to keep those in an alternative or a home jersey. Shoot,
I'm sure
rocking that all the time. But yeah, those are sweet uniforms. Pac-12. I think Pac-12 is about to disappear. But 2024, the only teams that'll be left, not now, with Cal and Stanford leaving, Oregon State and Washington State. Be the only two left. I had Cal and Stanford on here with four teams left, but now Cal and Stanford's leaving. Oregon State and Washington slide into Mountain West, Big Ten. I don't know.
But you'd think they'd want to try to stay in a bigger one.
Well, Big Ten's already got 18 teams.
I know.
So, I don't know. SEC had an Oklahoma and Texas in 2024. They'll be up to 16 teams now. AAC, so American Athletic Conference, is adding Charlotte, FAU, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and UTSA. So good for them. 14 teams. They'll be there. 14 teams then. Conference USA in 2023 is adding Jacksonville State, Liberty, New Mexico State, and Sam Houston. And in 2024, they're adding Kennesaw State, which will bring them up to 10 teams. So good on them. And then just recently with the news breaking, ACC 2024-2025, adding Cal State and SMU to 18 teams. So, I mean, you look at that board and it's going to be this conference, that conference, this conference, that conference, yeah. North and South, East and West. It doesn't matter where. I mean, at least like Oklahoma, and Texas are like in the general area of the country, you know, like you got Arkansas and Mizzou and A&M all kind of close, which granted Mizzou and A&M used to be in the Big 12, but it's kind of in the same district. It's not like Cal, Florida State or Cal and whatever ACC team, North Carolina or something that's on the coast or whatever. So I don't know. We'll see how it all the dust settles and whatnot. I put on here, going to ask you who's next, which I had ACC. Are they next? Which they've already found out they're next, but there's word that FSU is looking to get out of the ACC.
Really?
So
where do they go?
Yeah. I think they were off, or they were kind of putting out there that they're willing to leave, but nobody wanted to pick them up. I mean, I guess the only other conference that could maybe pick them up is SEC, Southeastern Conference. But if not, then, I mean, I don't know why they'd want to get out of the ACC. ACC is a good conference, got a lot of good teams.
I mean, is it because they're not the perennial top dogs they were every year? I mean, it's
– yeah.
I don't know why they'd want to leave, or could be strictly because of travel. I mean, who wants to go East Coast to West Coast?
Yeah. Now, well, this was before Stanford and Cal added on. So they were asking to leave like a month ago before they added those teams. So they were in a good spot where they're just traveling up the East Coast, down the East Coast. I guess I think they were more willing to try to get into the SEC is why they were offering, or Big Ten. And I guess once neither one of those fell through, then they're probably just going to be like, hey, we'll stay here now. So,
yeah. I mean, Big Ten almost doesn't make sense now that Oregon and the Washington of the world are going.
Yeah,
now you're going from the southeast corner to the northwest corner. It's like,
It's all about clout and money. That's all it is. They didn't care about logistics or college athletes or anything. It was about who's got the basketball team. Let's add them to our conference.
Yep.
Like you said, basketball is going to get hurt by it. Baseball and softball. Other teams that have to travel, you know, that's playing more than one game a week. One game a week's the easy schedule. I mean, you probably fly in the Thursday, Friday before, play on a Saturday, and you're back Sunday for a rest and then school on Monday. A lot of news. I was going to ask you, do you think Notre Dame joins in a league, in a conference now?
They're almost going to be forced to. They're going to have to. But my biggest deal is, what about the University of Hawaii? What if they decide to leave and try to, you know, accidentally fall into the ACC? What do you do there?
I don't know. Either they just stay on the mainland for the whole football season,
yeah,
and do online classes or what? But
yeah,
or just have every team come out to them one game. You know,
vacation.
Yeah, one road game. Make a vacation out of it. You know, go play in Hawaii. Go 3 days early and stay. You know, stay on a Thursday and stay till Sunday. So, yeah, that'd be wild. I mean, they can join Washington and not Washington. Who was the other one that was staying in there in the Pac-12? Oregon State and Washington State.
Yeah, the two states, yeah.
Yeah, they can join in a league together. I think if they did Mountain West, kept those teams there. I know Washington State probably didn't want to be in the Mountain West or Oregon State, but I mean, if no one's picking you up and you're not in any conference. So I don't know. We'll see where the dust settles. We'll see how it works. I'm sure you won't hear anything about, like I said, the players.
Yeah.
All you're going to hear about is, oh, this conference stronger than this conference. Mm-hmm. My question, though, is you got so many teams, not everybody's going to play everybody. So how do you pick a conference champion? I mean, you just do East and West, and they play each other. So, like, if there's 18 teams in the Big Ten, you play 9-9. So you almost don't get a out-of-conference play. You get, like, one out-of-conference play or two.
What's the college season? How many games?
I think it's 12, I want to say.
12. So basically, you're going to be playing almost all conference games.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be all conference. You won't ever get to play an out-of-conference game. So, I mean, if you got all the good teams in your league, I mean, is that a bad thing, you know?
Yeah, that could make for some interesting showings down the line.
Yeah, it's 12 games a regular season. So, yeah, if you're playing, I mean, if you split or if they did 9-9, huh?
You do two warm-up games and then your other 10 are conference, or?
I guess. I don't know. But if you have, say, if there's 18 teams and you got 9-9, like East and West conference or division, if you don't want to play any out of things, just play three teams from the other side.
Yeah.
Or one random one, two teams from the other side, then all in your division.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you do that. Unless,
I mean,
it
kind of does make sense just to stay in your division,
mm-hmm.
per se, and then play the winner of this division, winner of this division. Because then you're going to be assured that the best team in each one is going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see how they do it. Because, I mean, like you said, you got these people with 16 teams, 18 teams. Yeah, ACC is going to have 18 teams after this. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know what you do. But it's going to be – it's got the best you'll figure it out.
I mean, because now if they're going to play nothing but, you know, conference division games, you're hurting the little guys that come in and get throttled because of, hey, we'll give you $10 million to get your butt kicked.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Well, my question is to you, though, is like, what if one – division in that conference is crappy and you got like one good team in there, you know, and they're just throttling everybody, where you got a dogfight every week on this side of the division, you know, like the East Coast has got five good teams out of nine and the West Coast has one out of nine, you know, and you're just walking through. So, I mean, I feel like there's got to be some kind of relegation or something where they even the divisions out instead of just having, you know, I don't know. It's going to be weird.
Or, you know, you kind of have a yearly, these teams you won't play this year, but you'll play next year, and you won't play these teams, but you're supplementing with these teams from the Eastern Division are coming in.
Yeah.
That way you're essentially going to have to play everybody.
Yeah. Just switch it each year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you play, you said 12 games, so you got, say, maybe two warm-up games. And then three games from the other division. And then you got your seven interdivision or whatever it'll be. You know, I'm just glad I don't have to do the scheduling.
Yeah. Well, I'm coming up with all kinds of problems where, like, what if one side has two good teams that don't play each other and they got similar records? Mm-hmm. Then what do you do? Rank the schedule, which is what? People in your conference?
Well, let's say you have a Bama and an LSU. Or let's say UT and OU, because you know they're going to be in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
If they're both 10-2, but say UT lost to LSU, but OU beat them. You know, if that's their common, you know,
opponent.
Yeah. And one beat them, one. I mean, you got to take the one that beat them, right?
How do you choose LSU, though? Like, what if it was a different team and OU lost to that team, but Texas beat that team? Which team do you choose from?
Then we're going to go to travel ball. We're going points for, points against.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or would it be you go by polls? Was the college football playoff heavy ranked or whatever, you know?
Man. I mean, because, well, I mean, what if you're just an absolute freaking powerhouse? You're throttling your division, like you're saying. You're the one of two, one or two teams that are actually worth a crap.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest aren't, but you don't really have anything to show for it versus this other side. This other side has gone through the gauntlet, and they're like, well, they had a harder strength of schedule. We got to get why. I mean, what's to say that they wouldn't have gone over there and done that?
Yeah. Well, who's this? Just because you had weaker opponents doesn't mean you're a great team, you know?
Right, right.
So,
I mean, I just know that there won't be any more self-proclaimed national championships.
Yeah. What if the conferences did like a little four team playoff?
Top two in each.
Yeah.
I mean, what, one plays two in the, like, one in the Eastern plays two in the Western, then vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play head up for the championship. I like that.
Yeah. I just don't know if that's going to interfere with the new playoff system that they got coming in. They're going to 12 teams in 2 years, I think.
Yeah, I think so. 24.
I think I looked up that schedule, and it's a little funky, too, where I think the top four get a bye, and the bottom six kind of play each other. Or no, what was it? Something like that. The bottom other ones play, and then they fill in to play the top four seeds.
Yeah.
And they do their 14 playoff kind of thing. At least
four with a bye, then you have eight teams left.
Yeah.
And that leaves four. Yeah.
Yep. Then those eight teams will play, which I did read where those eight teams are playing at one of their home fields. They're not playing at like a neutral site. If I read it right, I think I said the lower seed gets the home field advantage, which doesn't seem right, but I might have read it wrong. So I'm not going to put that on record. I'm just saying I might have read it wrong.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at that. I reread it like three times. I was like, did I read that right?
Yeah, that's very odd.
Yeah, but it's going to be a home field for somebody, the bottom eight, and then whoever wins those play in. I think they reseed, and the lowest ranked seed, I think, plays the one seed, so on and so forth.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. But also, with all this realignment, Pac-12 has no one to blame but themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So we read where greed kind of destroyed them. It was reported that Pac-12 had offer from ESPN of $30 million per school in the fall of 2022. But the presidents and chancellors or whatever wanted $50 million per school. And ESPN basically said, nope, bye.
Yeah. I don't blame them. I mean, you're getting a great chunk of change. Yeah, that's not enough.
Greed.
Okay. And you've been relevant for how long?
Yeah. Greed will get you.
Yeah.
Now how much money are you making? I don't think Oregon State and Washington State is going to bring you in that much money.
No.
Nothing against those two programs, but I just don't think it's going to happen. But, yeah, you bring it on yourself, you know. So, well, that brings us into college football rankings and projections.
Okay.
I'll read you the NCAA rankings, AP poll. I got 1 through 25. We'll just see because it'll show you. We'll talk about who you think's a dark horse or who you think's overrated. So I'll go 1 through 25. This is AP rankings. Georgia at 1, Michigan, Ohio State at 3, Alabama, LSU, USC, Southern Cal. 7's Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, Washington, Texas at 11, Tennessee, Notre Dame, Utah at 14, Oregon, Kansas State, TCU at 17, Oregon State at 18, Wisconsin, Oklahoma at 20, North Carolina, Ole Miss, A&M at 23, Tulane sneaking in at 24, and Iowa at 25. So odds of winning it, the college football national championship, MGM has the betting odds at Georgia at plus 225, Bama at 600, Ohio State at 700, and Michigan at 800. Fox Sports has Bama at plus 600. Ohio State at 800, Michigan at 800, and LSU sneaking in at 1100. So my question to you is, who do you think's overrated? We'll go with that one first. Who do you think's overrated, and who's ranked way too high?
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember how everything was last year.
Well, last year they had 10 teams in the top 25 not finish in the top 25. So the AP poll didn't mean crap last year because 10 of the 25 teams didn't end up ranked.
Yeah, I know. I think that the top four teams from the year before should be 1 through 4. What's wrong with that?
1 through 4, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama.
No, TCU. They were the four playoff teams.
Yeah.
What's wrong with putting them at 1 through 4? Okay, y'all did good. Here's a little reward. Don't screw it up.
Yeah. Well, you got TCU lost their quarterback. That's the main argument. But then so did Georgia and Alabama.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know how many people were lost at TCU's draft, you know.
Yeah. I know they lost their quarterback and their big receiver.
Yeah. I wanted to correct myself. 14 of the 25 teams in the AP poll finished unranked, including 3 of the top 10. So... you could have threw that AP poll out the window.
Folks.
Yeah. Go Sooners. Same thing. But yeah.
20.
Yeah, at least, I mean, TC dropped down to 17. At least throw him a bone and give him like top 10 at least. You know, I guess, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you were second in the country last year. But like I said, I don't know much about the depth chart. I don't know how many guys they lost. I don't know if it's because, I don't know. I don't know why they ranked them that low.
I don't know. I just kind of feel... if you're in the top four, like the four teams that were left in the playoffs, 1 through 4, put a little target on your head.
Yeah. You know? But then again, you could lose half your team and six of your studs, you know, or something.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I like to see people fall off the mountain, okay?
I love to see chaos, yes.
I like violence.
I
think Utah is underrated.
Yes.
Especially after Florida.
Yeah, they just rolled over Florida. It's not saying much, but I mean, still an SEC team.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should be higher up.
You know what you're getting with Georgia, Michigan. You know, how are they going to fare having Harbaugh gone for 2-3 games?
Actually, one of my sister's best friends that, she went to school to OU with, he might be head coach for the 3 games while he's there. So, right. Am I taking over the helm for while Harbaugh's gone? So,
Don't screw it up.
Just because he's a great dude and he's a friend of mine too. So, Sharon, good luck, buddy. You got this.
I think USC is being ranked solely because of, you know, the crier. Was it Caleb Williams? Is that his name? Quarterback.
He's got a new haircut and about 10 IL deals or whatever. I see him on every commercial now, and I'm like, dude, this guy's making bank.
Yeah. Man, it's really, I think it's going to be up for grabs this year. Kansas State, I think they lost a couple players, including the one and only Deuce Bond.
Yeah.
They seem to torch the Big 12 somehow. I mean, just running between legs and everything else.
You can't find him until he's into the secondary.
No. And by then, he gone.
Yeah. I kind of have a good feeling about him this year. I think he's going to show out.
Oh, yeah.
I have hopes for him. I have hopes for him.
I think Texas is going to be kind of a sleeper at 11. I think their quarterback, he's looking over his shoulder at –
not Archie, is it? Somebody else, right? Archie's sitting in the shadows.
Yeah. I don't remember Texas quarterback.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you who it is, but I knew Archie was sitting in the wings. Mm-hmm. Now, does Archie redshirt, or does he stick with it and wait for that guy to just blow it?
Ooh. I don't know. I mean, if he's done as well as what they say, then you almost have to... well, I guess you can redshirt him, and then if you need him, you just lose the redshirt, right?
Well, I think there's a rule where freshmen get to play like 3 or 4 games and still could redshirt. correct me if I'm wrong. I think I remember my sister telling me something about that. But yeah,
Ewers is quarterback.
Huh?
Is it Quinn Ewers or something like that? The quarterback.
I was trying to look him up. Was he really good? He was that long haired guy, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers, yeah. He was pretty good until he got hurt.
Yeah.
I think he got hurt during the Red River and he was tearing it up.
Well, he was tearing. Texas would have beat Alabama had he not got hurt that game.
That's what it was. That's what it was. It was the Alabama game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just can't bring myself to root for Texas. I always want to. So, I mean, it's just kind of tough to root for them or think that they're a sleeper when they haven't won the Big 12 since 2009. You know, they've had great classes, great recruiting classes year after year, and then can't win it. It's like, is that the coach? They just can't find the right coach to fit them, or they got too many hands in the pot that they can't, you know, make a good deal or whatnot.
Now, how they replace the running back will be the biggest telltale of how their year will go.
Mm-hmm. Bijan, replacing Bijan. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one to replace. He was a stud. He's predicted top five in fantasy, so, I mean, that just goes to show how good he is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, who do you have as a dark horse?
As a dark horse?
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I'm always going to say Oklahoma State, but.
Hey, this might be the last.
I saw something that OSU is favored to beat OU this year. I'm like, how?
That's going to be the last bedlam, probably. After 116 years?
And then you 19 keep that, years? Somewhere. That's good. It's kind of like the Texas and A&M rivalry, and they just let it go. It's like those are the games they need to keep going.
Mm-hmm. That needs to be your one non-conference every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sprinkle that in the SEC schedule. You know, like take a break from playing LSU and Bama, and then, hey, we're going to play OSU.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the dark horse, you know, I already said it earlier, Utah.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I think it'd be tough for Kansas State to repeat what they did last year. I'm hoping Oklahoma has a way better year. I think Venables is going to help, but I think he still needs all his recruits, so he might need another third or fourth year before they start tearing everything up, hopefully right before they get into the SEC. I mean, I think Tulane still has their quarterback, don't they, that they beat USC last year in the bowl game? I couldn't tell you if they still have him or not.
Maybe.
And some people were saying Iowa's got a good run at it. Like, even though they're ranked 25th, they're usually ground and pound, and it doesn't work for them that much. So,
I mean, they always get to that Iowa State game, or there's always one in between that they just fall apart.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard Washington's pretty good. They're sitting there at 10, and I've heard a bunch of high hopes for them. So there might be a few teams that might make a run.
Watch out for Clemson. You know, kind of been down the last couple of years, and they're looking to come back. I mean, they their quarterback that started the year transferred out.
Yeah.
The guy that replaced him, I guess, has had a pretty good spring.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. Week one starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Starts tomorrow. So, who you got winning it all? Who's your guess?
My guess?
Let's hear your final four and then your final guess.
My final four. Man. It's hard picking because the SEC beats each other up every year.
Mm-hmm.
I
have seen a lot of people with Florida State in their final four. And looking at their schedule, I'm like, they're going to lose against LSU around week one. yeah, go with your final four.
I'm going to give you the honors on this one.
Well, I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's not easy, is it?
I got two for sure, I think. Michigan and Bama, I think I can see being in there. I think Georgia with their new QB, they're going to be good, but I just don't know if he's going to be able to be ready.
Maybe growing pains. Maybe some growing pains.
Yeah. Ohio State likes to lose one game randomly, and I think they'll lose again to Michigan. So they're going to miss it by one game. USC is going to be good. There's no defense, though. So whoever they face first round, they're going to lose if they make it there, if they don't have to play Utah twice.
I'm about to say, good luck.
Yeah, but other than that, man, oh. Man, you might have a – I'd like to say maybe like a Penn State or I don't know if I can see two SEC teams making it with – they did last year, didn't they, Georgia and
It was Georgia, TCU, Michigan, Ohio State last year.
Okay, there wasn't then. Yeah, I find it hard for two SEC teams to make it. So I got Michigan, Bama. Let's go with Penn State, and let's go Washington. I'm just going to throw Washington in there. You know, I'm going to throw my Tulane Hail Mary up there.
And I'm going to go Michigan, LSU, Clemson, and Utah.
Nice. That's good.
I think Utah, they realized how good they were last year, and I think they may have something going.
Yeah. I'd like to see a lower team or like a non-usual team up in there. I'm feeling Michigan's going to win it all this year for some reason. They've got everybody coming back. I feel like they finally figured it out with finally beating Ohio State twice. I know it's tough to beat them 3 years in a row, but I just feel like with them having, they're like one of the only top teams that had everybody coming back, including quarterback. Yeah. So
there's a cocky little thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Michigan though.
Michigan winning it all?
Yeah.
I'll go Michigan, LSU in the final.
Okay.
I think it'll be a bloodbath in that one.
All right. Who you got winning it all?
I mean, of course, I have to go opposite of you. I can't.
You got to. I was about to say, you better. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I got Michigan, you got LSU.
Yeah.
That brings us to some NFL news. We had a bunch of free agent signees finally off the board. Zeke Elliott, Patriots for 1 year. Technically, he's not getting paid as much as what they made it sound like. Base salary is $1.5 million. Signing bonus, $600K. Roster bonus, $850K. So however long he can stay active, he'll get up to $850K. He's got $3 million in incentives. So... might watch out because he might be running for some money. He's used to being paid already, and now he's got to run for his money. So, yeah. And then you had Dalvin Cook signed with Jets for 1 year. Sorry. Elliott signed with Patriots, for you guys that don't know. Dalvin Cook signed with the Jets for 1 year. His base salary was 1.08. His incentives, he can make up to 8.62. 1.6 of it being how many yards he can get if he gets up to, like, 1,250 yards, 1,500 yards, and he gets like 250,000 per playoff win. So he's got a lot of incentives there. He's got 5.8 guaranteed, though, with the base salary per week that he's active. So he's got a pretty good deal. And then D-Hop signing with a two-year deal with the Titans, 26 mil. So they think they value him still. 9.8 for signing bonus, 10.9 guaranteed, about 13 mil average annual salary. Who do you think got the best deal out of these three free agents?
Patriots. Go for cheap. I don't know. I think D-Hop to the Titans. Is that right?
Yeah.
2 years. I think that gives Derrick Henry someone else as a threat.
Yeah. Don't they have... they have the UK guy from last year, right? Or did they draft him this year?
No clue.
The Kentucky guy? I can't remember his name.
Okay, week four. Watch out for week four. Zeke versus the Cowboys.
Oh, look out. That'll be good.
You know, I hope he runs down their throat, but then I hope the Cowboys win.
Looking like a true fantasy owner, you know. I hope he goes off, but I hope he still loses, yeah. Will Levis, that's it. And Tannehill. They drafted Malik Willis, too, a couple years back from, I forgot, it was like some no-name college up in the Northeast, I thought.
Yeah. Let's see.
Taken in the third round in 2022. So, but that was the last general manager, so. Yeah, so Yeah, they have a competitive job backing up quarterback Ryan Tannehill as the point of priest. So I guess Tannehill's going to start.
Yeah.
So Tannehill having Hopkins, you know, that might be a plus since they lost A.J. Brown a couple of years ago.
Okay, week 14 and 16 for D-Hop against the Texans. Mm-hmm. So maybe he can show out twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
He doesn't play Arizona, does he?
No, that's what I was looking.
Yeah, that's a firehouse, isn't it? That's a burning ship.
Kind of hard to see a ball coming from a midget.
Yeah. Well, he's probably not going to be starting for the first 4 or 5 games. And then they release Colt McCoy. Talk about throwing your season out the gate.
Cliff, what are you doing?
He's fired. Kingsbury's gone.
Oh, what is he? Oh, yeah. That's right.
He's with USC now. He's
back to USC. Yeah, because he took like his little trip and went off, still getting paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
who took over?
I can't tell you, but they're having a fire sale, though, because they're wanting Caleb Williams, I think. That's what everybody's saying.
Let's see.
It is Jonathan Gannon. He was named Arizona's head coach on February 14th when he signed a 5-year contract. The 40-year-old Gannon joined the Cardinals after spending the past 2 seasons as the defensive coordinator with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Gotcha.
So,
well, the Jets don't play the Vikings. I was kind of hoping they did.
How do you think Dalvin's going to fit in there with Breece? Breece is coming back. Dalvin might dominate first week, but then Breece, I think, is going to go back into a starting role.
It's going to be a Zeke Pollard thing.
Yeah.
You know, having two backs like that.
You got to nowadays. You got to.
Yeah, you have to. Man, the Jets don't play the Packers or the Vikings.
God, that would have been cool. Especially if we picked a Lambeau. That would have been sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think overall, I think the Jets probably won that just with how good of a push they're trying to make with all the moves they're making to add another solid, well-known name. I mean, Dalvin probably had a down year last year, but you look at the rest of his stats and it's like a beast. So I would like to say the Jets did with what they're trying to do this year. I think they're all in, all or nothing. And so I think that was the best deal that they made was for the Jets. That'll bring us to our projections. ESPN Power Rankings, first 1 through 10. Kansas City, Bengals, Eagles, Bills, 49ers, Miami at 6, Dallas at 7, Baltimore, Chargers at 9, and Jacksonville at 10. NFL rankings, they have Kansas City, Philadelphia at 2 instead of Cincinnati. They have 49ers at 3 instead of 5th like ESPN does. Cincinnati at 4, Bills at 5, Dallas at 6, Baltimore at 7, Jets at 8, Miami at 9, and Jacksonville at 10. So there's a little bit of a difference there between ESPN and NFL.com. What do you think about those rankings? I mean, Kansas City, Philly, Cincy, and San Fran seem like the top 4.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, coming out of the boat.
Oh, does San Fran have a hold on their quarterback position? I mean,
I think Purdy's for sure starting.
Yeah, but how well is his surgically repaired elbow?
Yeah. I mean, with that system, all he's got to do is make a few passes here and there, and it runs like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
So, granted, his health, I'm sure it's fine. It's fine, or they wouldn't be starting him.
Yeah, but, I mean, they still got Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo, right?
Mm-hmm. And McCaffrey and...
Yeah.
The
other guy.
Yeah. So, they got a lot. They got their wrecking ball. I mean, but there's going to be about 4 or 5 solid teams.
Yeah, you're going to have to throw the ball to keep them all happy, too. So, I mean, what do you do?
Well, I figured if they're winning, everybody's going to be happy.
Yeah.
MGM odds to win the Super Bowl is Kansas City at plus 600, Eagles at 8, Bills at 1,000, 49ers at 1,000, Bengals at 1,100, and Cowboys at 1,500. That's your top 6 from MGM bets.
They're overranking the Cowboys. I say it every year. Elijah Mitchell and McCaffrey.
Mitchell, yeah. Yeah, ESPN's got Dallas at 7, and then NFL's got them at 6. So kind of right there on that cusp of.
They're there every year, though.
Yeah, this is our year.
Yeah. We them boys.
This is our year. out of these top 10 or maybe further down, who do you got as a dark horse team? Who do you think you got that's maybe ranked 6 through 10 that might make it up to 1 or 2, make it to a Super Bowl?
Give me 6 through 10 again.
The ESPN's got Miami, Dallas, Baltimore, Chargers, and Jacksonville. NFL's got Dallas, Baltimore, Jets, Miami, and Jacksonville.
Are the Jets and Jacksonville in the same division? No?
I don't think so.
No, no, they're not. No, I'm thinking of Miami and New England.
Yeah.
I think... The Jets, I think you're instantly better with Rodgers and Cook and Jacksonville. They've, you know, now that they're taking a gamble on Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm. Jacksonville is going to be stacked. They got, I mean, Ridley might just cause another ripple, but they got Ingram at tight end. They got, is it Zay Jones? And then Shark, DJ Shark.
Yeah.
And I thought there was one more wide receiver. I can't remember, but yeah, it was, they especially with Lawrence finally coming into his own, they're looking pretty good.
Let's see. They got, Travis Etienne.
Etienne, yeah, at the back.
What's Eli there? Cooks.
Yeah,
Zay Jones, good. Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley.
Kirk, that's the other one. Yeah. How did I forget about Christian Kirk? Yeah, they I think they're going to make I think they might I got my dark horses Jags. I got Lions. Lions might be a dark horse this year with everything coming together. I don't know with the running back situation since they got rid of Swift. And then I think another one that might be a dark horse just because of the division they're in, the Saints.
Okay, yeah.
They might sneak into playoffs. I don't know how deep they're going to go, but just with them being in there with the Falcons, Panthers, and Bucks, I think they're going to sweep that conference and then might have a good record. Then they might lose first round, but who knows? They got a good-looking team going on down there.
Yeah, look for Russell Wilson to kind of be feeling like he's being put on blast right now.
Yeah.
With Sean Payton.
Either make or break right now. This is the year.
And you know Payton's not scared to bench somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's going to either make or break him. He's going to be ready or not. So
I don't think Wilson's finger was better from the year before when he messed up those tendons.
He was tearing it up before that finger injury.
I was watching that game. You see his finger like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they said, like, it happened like 4 quarterbacks that year or something. It was like, finger injury. I was like, goodness. Yeah, I looked at that. I said, there's no way he's getting back in there. He taped it up, came back in, couldn't throw. I was like, yeah, there's no way. Yeah, I had him that fantasy year, and he was tearing it up. And then once he got injured, they're like, Russell Wilson hasn't missed a game in 5 years. And I was like, okay, I'll pick him up. And then halfway through the season, missed 10 games. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, man.
I was thinking about talking about fantasy this episode. We might save it for next episode because we haven't drafted yet, and I don't want to give you any ideas, so we'll skip that. And plus, we might talk about that for another hour, and I don't think I have an hour.
Right. there is a good chance that would happen. Yeah, we'll talk about fantasy after the draft. We'll see
after if the we draft. Can
have another one fairly quickly, and then
we might can make that its own episode.
Yeah.
So we'll skip over to MLB. My hair. Yeah. Oh, August 5th, the brawl. That was the video I was going to show or let you listen to. That's what it was.
Oh, Tim Anderson.
Or did I send that to you? There's one that was like the guy that did the announcements for it, and it was like golden. I can't remember what I sent it to you on.
It's the same amount of counts as he does home runs.
Tom Anderson, of the Guardians announcer on the Tim Anderson Jose Ramirez brawl, was epic. The dude, let me see if I can find that. But Anderson, But background, Anderson was suspended for 6 games, but got it reduced to 5. Ramirez was suspended for 3 games, but got it reduced down to 2. Let's see if we can listen to this. This is Tim Anderson. Or Tom Anderson.
Here comes a swing and a smash to first by the diving Vaughn. Down the right field line. Kicks into the corner. Ramirez on his way to second. Head first slide. Safe. And in the score is Jimenez. And another hustle double. Right over the bag at first. Al Hoshi and Anderson square off. Gets upset about anything. They came up chewing. Anderson squared off. Hosey decked him. It's a 5-1 Chicago lead, but everybody from the dugouts and the bullpens congregated around second base. You never see Jose Ramirez get upset like that. And Tim
Anderson. That's like one of the cleanest brawls I've ever seen. Usually they get messy and they just like, they scrum up.
It's like you look at it, you're still like, what kicked it off? Did something get said?
I think it was words or him just standing over him for a long period of time and keeping the tag down long enough. I think things were said earlier that they were kind of mad at each other. And then when that happened, it just set it off to where Jose said something to him. And that's what set it off, because as soon as Jose said something to him, he dropped gloves and was ready to fight. But if you actually look at it, Ramirez is just throwing blind punches and caught him.
Oh, yeah.
He knocked him out. He dropped. Like, he folded up and went backwards. So if you haven't watched that, you need to look that up, the Tom Anderson version of the brawl. Super good. one of the cleanest brawls I've seen, where it's just like, hey, we drop gloves. Usually you see punches missing and everything, and nothing ever lands anything. This one, it caught him right on the chin and dropped him. So,
glass jaw. Did you see him? They have another video of him trying to like get up and go back, and he's stumbling all over the place.
Yeah, it took me a little bit to see that one too. He wasn't walking right, so he definitely got conked for sure. He saw lights out. Did you see his official apology?
No.
So, he wrote an official apology and had it, and the White Sox posted on their page. You know, like, sorry for this. This responsibility, this and that, White Sox Nation, this and that. Well, somebody went on to AI generator and kind of typed in like, what do you apologize for? And the generator did a verbatim apology of what he wrote and sent in. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it's like, he just went to the AI generator and said, type apology for this. And it was literally, they put the AI generator next to his apology on the official page, and it was verbatim.
He probably wouldn't do it, so somebody said, okay, how does this look?
Yeah, he probably didn't know where he was to write it. So, yeah. So, Anderson's been kind of on everybody's hot list, I guess, just the way he's been playing and the actions he's been doing. But it seems like White Sox is a dumpster fire right now. Did you see the proposal that they might be one of the teams relocating to Nashville?
I saw that.
So that might be another episode to talk about where – relocation. So Nashville would get the relocation team, but they're just going to take one from another team. So who knows how that's going to go. That'll end their long-term rivalry of South Side and North Side. So we'll see how that goes on later on. That'll bring us to our next subject on MLB. Domingo, is it Germans or?
I think German.
Germans, New York pitcher. Throws the 24th perfect game in MLB history and becomes the fourth Yankee to do so in an 11-0 win against the worst team in baseball, the Athletics. Still throwing a no-no against any team. So our perfect game is something to talk about. He threw 9 innings, 99 pitches, 0 hits, 0 walks, and struck out 9. So 9 was his magic number. But if you look at his record from his starts or his week or month beforehand and afterhand, just before the perfect game, his 2 recent starts, he let up 7 runs against Boston, got booed off the mound for allowing 10 runs, 8 earned against the Mariners in just 3 1/3 inning. And then comes out on the perfect game. Huh?
Did I drive anyone to drink in New York?
Yeah. So that's what brings it up, because got caught for drinking problem. I guess he just switched drinks and threw a perfect game, so he needs to stick with that one.
They are saying there's speculation that he was getting drunk throughout that game.
Well, wouldn't doubt it. I mean, there's guys that, what's his name, that threw a perfect game on LSD?
Yeah. What the heck is it?
I can't remember his name. He talks about it, tells the story and everything. He's like, I was seeing this and that, and I was like, goodness. I mean, being drunk's one thing, but being on LSD for another thing?
Whew.
I was like, what? You'd be tripping in the dugout, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you, I don't know. Doc Ellis.
Yeah.
I think his story was he went out the night before because he wasn't supposed to start or something. And so he took something that night and woke up and was still feeling it. And they're like, hey, you're pitching, you're starting today. And he was like, okay. So that's how that happened. But back to Domingo, on August 2nd, he was placed on restrictive list after the pitcher agreed to voluntarily, or probably voluntold, to submit to inpatient treatment for alcohol abuse, and he'll miss the remainder of the 2023 season. So,
yeah, apparently he flipped over a couch, smashed at least one television during the incident, and was yelling at Aaron Boone and another unnamed person in the clubhouse.
Yeah, who's your guess it was? Get in his face. But Aaron Boone's probably on the hot seat. He's probably about to be fired soon.
I saw something where they gave him a new deal, I thought.
Are you serious?
I thought I saw that. Let me
see. Hey, we're the worst team in the NL, in the AL East. Let's give you a contract.
Of course, it could have been some spoof thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw a spoof one where they said they fired him already, and I had to read into it, and it was like, this is fake news.
Yeah.
But back in 2019 and 20, Domingo served an 81-game suspension for violating MLB's joint domestic violence policy, where he was accused of physically abusing his girlfriend, now wife, Mara Vega. So it could have been an alcohol-related incident to where it got him abusive and whatnot. So he's not doing too well. Hopefully he can get right and get back on track, especially with the physical abuse stuff. That should be definitely suspended for that kind of actions. But hopefully he gets back on track, and hopefully he can get back and get right with all those treatments. Hopefully he takes it serious and gets back into it.
Yeah. Okay, here it is. He somebody posted a 2021 thing where they extended him for 3 years through 24.
Gotcha.
So yeah, he's got one more year that I don't think he'll survive after this year.
Yeah. Dang. Hmm. Well, he tried it. It's a tough place to manage that, though. So,
I mean, he was a playoff hero.
Oh, yeah. A walk-off against Wakefield.
Wakefield.
Game 7. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of people's tried it. Who do you think seeing next? Do you think Jeter comes back and manages?
I don't think he manages. I think he's too smart.
An owner, ain't he?
I think he'll be like a special assistant or
– yeah. Maybe.
Try to try his hand at GM, but
yeah,
man, I don't know who would take that right now.
Yeah,
dumpster fire. Yeah.
That brings us to our next episode or problem in MLB. Wander Franco, Tampa Bay Rays, was accused July 17th of having relations with an underage girl. I think she was 17.
14.
Sorry, 14. Even worse.
He needs to wander around his own age group is what he needs to do.
Yeah. He was last played August 12th, and MLB placed him on a restricted list the next day. The league went a step further just last week, placing him on administrative leave. He will continue to get paid his team record 11-year, $182 million contract while MLB waits for resolution. Since the July 17th, two more additional girls have filed from the DR.
And as of 2 days ago, I guess they're investigating. Another one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get the still getting paid until proven guilty, because if you did that with everybody, you know, you're saying guilty until proven innocent. So a lot of people might say he's still getting paid and he did this, you know. Yeah, there's probably strong indications that he is doing that, but until proven, you know, So I think a good move on MLB's part to still do that. But what you could do is say, hey, we're going to set the money that you're making now aside. If you're proven innocent, we're giving it back to you. If you're proven guilty, we're keeping it, you know, like maybe do that or give him enough to live off of, you know, which he should have enough to live off of. He's smart.
Not if he's out there getting 14-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they could allocate it to a bank account, say, hey, we're going to keep pumping that, what you're getting paid into this, until the court decision. You get it back if innocent. You don't get it back if you're guilty. It goes back to the team or whatever. So, I mean, I agree with the MLB for still paying, but I think there could be different ways of paying them.
Yeah.
So, only time will tell. He might have played his last MLB game, like I said, back in the 17th or August 12th. Sad, a great talent. Got to go do that, you know. Just
which I guess, you know, he been having trouble with his attitude and everything else. It almost makes it, no wonder it was stemming from that. He had stuff, you know, people trying to, hey, you know, do this or we're going to the news. And
yeah,
makes you wonder if it was all kind of interconnected.
Yeah, that's crazy. So only time will tell if that's going to be true or not. We'll see. It's not looking too good, though, for him. Hopefully he gets help, and hopefully no more underage girls get hurt from that situation.
Yeah.
Especially some big league guy from Dominican Republic. You know, you go back to those third world countries and see that, or, you know, they're going to attract to you. So, I mean, just got to be smart, not smart. So, which will bring us to our MLB predictions. As of now, I'll just read off the top two, maybe three teams. AL East, Orioles and Rays. Orioles are 83-50. Rays are 82-52. Central, Twins, 69-65. Guardians, 64-70. AL West is looking like a dogfight right now. Mariners are with their like 10 or 12 game win streak, or 31 out of 40 games win streak. Mariners are sitting at 76-57, Astros at 77-58, and Rangers at 75-58. NL Central or NL East, Braves 88-45, which I think they're leading. Yeah, they got the best record in baseball. Phillies 74-59. In the Central, Brewers 74-59, Cubs 71-62. Reds might make a run. They're at 69-66. And in the West, Dodgers are 83-50, Giants 70-64, and D-backs are hanging in there at 69-65. So those are kind of your top two to three teams in each division. Like I said, that AL West is looking like a dogfight.
You know, I was looking at something the other day, and the amount of blown leads and saves late in the game for the Rangers, I think they have lost, I think it was around 12. Failed save or games that they should have won. So I mean, you look at that. It's like, I think the Rangers are a top team.
Yeah,
they have a middle of the road bullpen. Trying to rely on your starters to get deep into games and everything else. I mean, it stresses them.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you watch John Gray pitch and they score one or two runs for him, and he'll give up one or two runs, and it's just like, give the man, he's putting in quality starts. Give the man some help.
Yeah. So that might be their Achilles heel, you know. If you had told me a month ago, I would have said they're probably going to be in the World Series with the Braves, and Braves are going to take it in six, you know, like see them as a World Series team. Now with just the way they're coming down to the finals, you know, it's anybody's game now from the AL. So, I mean, Orioles might make a run, Mariners, Astros. Astros seem to find themselves in contention every year. I'm just tired of seeing
banging on trash cans.
Yeah, they don't have that anymore.
You know, so you look at it, really, Seattle and Houston have had the easiest schedule lately in the AL West.
Yeah, that goes to hell.
Yeah, Seattle, I think, had the easiest.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the playoff picture now, AL seeds would be one seed Orioles with two seed Mariners. They'd get a bye. Wild card would be the three seed Twins versus six seed Rangers. And the other wild card would be the four seed Tampa Bay versus five seed Astros. For the NL, one seed Braves with a bye, two seed Dodgers with a bye. Wild card, three seed Brewers versus six Giants. and 4 seed Phillies versus 5 Cubs. So, I mean, my look at it, I would say Braves, Dodgers in the NL championship, and AL, I guess it'd be the Orioles, and you got Astros, Rangers, or Mariners. Whoever comes out of the AL West, the strongest, I think, will be, you know, and then your finals, I think, will be anybody out of the AL West, and the Braves is my guess. So whoever comes out of the AL West, I'm thinking, is going to go to the World Series against the Braves is my guess.
Yeah. Man. The Braves and Dodgers, I think they'll square off in the NLCS.
Yeah. I mean, the Braves did just take down the Dodgers last night, but that's one game. They always seem to be dogfights of a series, like they've been in three of the last 4 years, either in the conference final or, you know, somewhere in there.
And I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to say Texas and Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
The ALCS.
Yeah, I like Texas, like I said.
I would like to see them be a little bit more proactive in all those waivers that the Angels fed the league, but
we'll see. I mean, there's going to be some good baseball coming down in the last month, so, and we might finish up, we might just do one feel good story if you're all right with that. We might save the second one for another episode.
Let's do your Polish javelin thrower.
Yeah. We got a real good story here. This is Polish javelin thrower Maria, and I'm not even – I'm going to try this last name, but it's Polish, so it's Andrzejczyk. Sorry if I brutalize that, which I know these Polish names have a J-C-Z-Y-K in their last bit, so I'm not even – it's tough.
Andrzejczyk?
I don't know. Anyway, she won the medal in 2022 Tokyo game, the silver medal, back in 2022. And August 16th of this year, Maria decided to auction off her Olympic medal to raise funds for an 8-month-old Milosek Melissa to have life-saving heart surgery. The only hope for the eight-month-old was surgery in Stanford, California. They went through all the Polish steps to try to see who's the best, this and that. And they said they all kept pointing towards America to Stanford Medical. Which would have run them $383,000 American dollars. Half of the funds was already raised by Maria before Maria came in. So they had about half their funds raised, but needed the other half to get this fixed. And so when she auctioned her medal off, it ended up making $125,000 in the auction. It was bought by a Polish food chain, Zabka, if I'm pronouncing that right. Zabka is their name. And so they ended up buying the medal for $125,000, helping this girl get her fully funded to go do her surgery and whatnot. And it gets better. After winning the auction, Zabka, the food chain company, announced that they would be returning the medal back to Maria, saying, "We were moved by the beautiful and extremely noble gesture of our Olympian. The silver medal will remain with Miss Maria." So She raised the money, didn't have to give up her medal. Noble gesture, tip of the hat to Zabka. The little girl gets to fly and get her heart life-saving surgery. And I hope all is well with that and goes smooth and accordingly to plan. So,
sitting here listening to that kind of gives you goosebumps because, you know, it's not every day you have a real-life superhero right there. Not just a hero, but a superhero going above and beyond what a lot of people could fathom or could do, and
Give
this child another extended chance at life.
Yeah. I think she saw where she wanted to help somebody, and she said that was like the first thing she saw was that girl's story, and she's like, I knew that was it as soon as I saw it. And she was like the first one that she looked at, and she was like, I don't even care about my medal, like if it helps her, like I'm all in. So just to see that, like you play your whole life for those Olympics and you finally get, I think she lost the goal by like 2 meters or like 2 feet or something like that. So she was close to a gold, but to give that up, something you worked your whole life for, like was amazing. But then it was amazing to see the food company just say, hey, we wanted to just buy it and give it back to you. So
yeah, like we see you over here. Kudos. We're going to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Just what? Keep it.
Yeah.
That's You know, you only wish more people, more companies were driven in that direction to help somebody versus like, no, it's my money.
Yeah. What does it do for me?
You know, it's a selfless situation like that that a lot of people will be selfish in. And
yeah. But it's an amazing story. And like you said, a true hero that you get to see in real life. So, I mean,
absolutely.
For her to make that decision, she didn't know she was going to get it back either when she auctioned it. She was ready to give it up. You know, and just for them to turn around and say, hey, we thank you for your service, for being an Olympian, a representative of our country, and also a representative of the people, too, now because you're helping them out. So, yeah, amazing story. Good for her. And I think that concludes it for us, man. That's to leave you on a positive note with a feel good there.
You know, next episode, let's think it'll be closer to more playoff time for baseball. NFL will be under the way. Fantasy teams will be had.
Oh, yeah.
College football will be a couple weeks in. So we're going to have some good content to talk about. You know, maybe we got time to touch on some new fire stories if we got any.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, it's always a pleasure.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's been great. You know, I know you gotta run. You got a football deal you got to get to.
But... yeah, going back to the old high school game. So.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
One legend, always a legend.
Oh, yeah. Got to wear all my letterman and my ring, you know, all that. Yeah. So, no, I'm joking. I'm just going to be like,
yeah.
You know, it fit me in high school. It won't fit now.
What's the movie, Dazed and Confused?
Bring my paddle. Yeah. Start whipping some freshmen. Yeah.
Oh, man, you're going to be Matthew McConaughey showing up. All right.
Yeah. I think that's where his main line came in at, was that movie. That's where he came, main line, and never left him. So,
you know what I like about high school?
Yeah. Yeah. So does Wander, huh?
well, junior high school.
He watched that way too. Yeah. Well, always a pleasure, man. We'll get after another episode soon.
For sure. And be looking for you online Monday night, draft day. Yeah.
Good luck, sir.
You too.
All right. Always a pleasure.
You too.